trouble connecting the dots, and this is what it's around. The series was called Dangerous, and we talked about all the ways that Jesus was seen as a threat to the world when he walked the earth and began and was in the middle of his ministry. And we looked at all those things. And the main question is this. Well, how does the love of Christ that we talked about so much, how does that translate into us being dangerous? Like, we can see Jesus being dangerous. We can see why people would be mad and why he would move and shake and why there would be attention around him. But how does all of that translate to us being a threat to the way things are and really making a dent in the world? And I think we can all relate to that, because I think everybody in some way, shape, or form wants to feel like their life is going to make an impact in the world. It's going to make a dent. It's going to be better than it was going to be if we hadn't been here. And so I thought, you know what, if that wasn't clear, I want to clear that up today. I want to make that super, super clear. And I'm going to do it in speedy fashion. Okay? So here's the thing. I am a human being. Sometimes I fall prey to what if. I have an idea. Oh, I have so many awesome ideas. I have so many great ideas about things that would change the world, make things better, make somebody's life better, encourage somebody, come to somebody's rescue. I have all these amazing ideas. But sometimes what happens is I fall prey to what if. What if people think blah, blah, blah? What if somebody does blah, blah, blah? What is somebody going to do? How is somebody going to retaliate? What if I fail? How will I deal with that disappointment? How will I get past that? How will I get through that, the embarrassment or the shame or just the sense of guilt that I couldn't come through or I wasn't good enough? And so what I want to do is just look to John, and he's going to explain to us how Jesus' love gets us past all of that. How does Jesus' dangerousness get past all of that? And this is what John says, okay? And John was special because John knew Jesus better than anybody. Anybody reading the Old Testament, John knew him longer. John lived longer after the fact. John was there at the ground floor when Jesus began his ministry. And John was one of the few people who actually lived a long time after Jesus began the church, opening day of the church. And so John lived like 70 years after Jesus' death. It was amazing. He got to be an old man in his 90s. It was impressive for the time. And he wrote down some things, and John knew how this love thing worked. And this is what John said, 1 John 4:17. He said, "By this, love is perfected with us." Perfected, perfect is not about being without a scratch on it. Perfected is talking about being everything that something was intended to be, doing everything that something was designed to do. He says, by this, whatever this is, by this, love accomplishes everything that it was intended to when it was given to us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. That we may have confidence in the day of judgment. He's saying, because that Christ's love has done what it was intended to do, we are not intimidated by death. We are not bothered. We are okay. It doesn't scare us. It doesn't have us shaking in our shoes. Because love is intended. Love is meant to be perfected. Love is intended to cause you not to be afraid anymore. This love, this thing that Jesus has done, all of his ministry work is intended to make you not afraid any longer. How? Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Well, how? Who is he? What is he? He's God's son. He's blameless. He has no punishment coming his way. He has only good chalked up to his record. That's how God sees us, as a result of accepting what Jesus has done, the offer that he has made. We are now spotless in the eyes of God. We have nothing to fear anymore. nothing to fear at the end of this whole long walk. And he goes on to say, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, that's love that does what it was intended to do, casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. There's no punishment coming for someone who accepts Christ's offer. But then he says this, because John is realistic, he says this, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. And what John is intending to say here is that if you are living life with fear in it, if you're living a what-if kind of a life, what will people think? What will they do? What will they say if I step out and do all of those good works that I have in my mind and my heart and that I have conviction about? If you're living a what-if kind of a life, he's saying, Jesus' love has not yet done all that it was meant to do in your life. There is more of you yet to come. There is a better version of you yet, still waiting in the wings, that is not being realized yet. The fact of the matter is, as long as you live with the fear of death, the greatest you that there is will never be known, because fear will neutralize it. Fear will neutralize the you that was always meant to be, that was always intended, that Christ's love would open it up. You were not actually made to live with the fear of death. You were never made for that. And there is a version of you in there somewhere. Maybe you do great things. Maybe you do a lot of good things. But there is a version of you yet to be realized that cannot be realized. There's a design for your life that is not yet realized if you have fear, because God's love has not yet done everything that it was intended for you. I think we can all relate to that. I think we can all relate to that. Christ's love is intended to open us up and make us fearless. You'll never be bold like you'll be bold when you're not afraid of anything anymore. When you're not afraid of death. You'll never step out there and put yourself out there like you'll step and put yourself out there when you no longer fear death. There's no comparison. When you're not afraid of death, you will do crazy, risky, bold things and not be bothered about it, because the thing that the world holds over our head the most is no longer something that can hold you back. But here's the thing. We all have fear. I mean, come on, we all have fear about something, right? Fear about the future. We have fear about what people think. We have fear that we'll have to give too much to get something. We have fear that we'll fail in front of people. We have fear. We have all kinds of fear. And even the best of us, you know, even Pastor Mike, a professional, spiritual, religious person, has fear. He has fears. They creep up on us. You won't find any Christians or believers that don't have any fears. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing to be done. And so I just want to give you a little piece of advice, a little suggestion, a little something to take home today. If you look at your life and you take inventory and you realize there are things in your life that should be done, there's impact that ought to be made, there are people that ought to be talked to, there are things that you could share with people, that you would think you should share with people, but it's not being shared. If there are things that God has put on your heart, works to do in the world that you just have conviction about, if there are those things and they're not being done, first off, call it for what it is. It's fear. You have fears. You have fear. It's there. It's real. But don't just accept it. Don't just accept it, because that wasn't the design. That was not what love was intended to accomplish. It's not what Christ's love was designed to do in us. Christ's love was designed to free us. And I know that many people who live with fear and have fears, I mean, I have fears. They come through my mind, and I have to flush them out and work on them and deal with them. But many people that have fears assume that there's just some complicated answer that we just can't get a hold of. It must just be so complicated we can't do it. It must be so tricky, it shouldn't be thought about. There's no point. And this is what I want to say to you. Let's bring up John 5:24 for a second. Maybe it's simpler than you made it out to be. Maybe it's simpler than you're making it out to be. Maybe. This is Jesus speaking to you and to me. He says this. He says, truly, truly, says it twice, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. Truly, truly. For real, guys, this is not a joke. Really, 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 I want you to hear me on this. Really, guys, I say to you, I'm telling you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, that's trust that he actually did send me. This is his intent, to send me here to you, to be your guy, your Lord, your authority. If you would just believe him who sent me, that guy has eternal life. That guy has eternal life. Believe means to live as though something is true. That's believe. To live as something is true. If you would just believe him, God, who sent me, that person does not come into judgment, but passes out of death into life. Sometimes I wonder, part of our problem is we just make it too complicated. Just make it too complicated. We have all these things we think about. Well, you know, I don't serve in church the way somebody else does, and I don't have the attendance record that somebody else does, and I have these other complicating factors in my life. And it's just a whirlwind of everyday events that runs through our mind. But shouldn't that be the first thought of every day? Shouldn't that be the first thought? What would change if that was the core thing that you spoke to yourself? Let me ask you this. Do you know what communion is about? Who here has done communion somewhere in your life? Raise your hand, quick. We're almost done. I know. It's hot and we're getting out of here. Listen, communion. I'm going to say something real quick, okay? And you fill in the blank when I stop. This do in remembrance of me, right? Right. What came before that? Does anybody know? It's crazy. As often as you eat. As often as you eat, this do in remembrance of me. He left behind this little symbolic picture of what it was like for us to believe in him. He gave a cup and he gave a piece of bread and he passed it, and it was very much the same as a traditional wedding ceremony. It was meant to remind people that, look, you are with me. You are with me. You are waiting on me to go and do something for you, and I can be trusted to go and do that thing. I will be back. But you need to do this like all the time. Not once a month in church or every week. I don't know, Catholic faiths do that once a week, I guess. But he said, as often as you eat. He said, guys, you are so lame. You are so forgetful. You find it so hard to keep focused on the important things. I'm telling you, you need to do something like this as often as you take food in your mouth. Why? Because you will lose track of the goal. You will lose track of the goal with all the cares and concerns like Dan talked about today. You will lose sight of the goal. You will get distracted, and you will get off course, and you've got to do something. You've got to do something for yourself to help you remember. And so what I leave you with today is, what if What if you did whatever it took to remember that? What if you did whatever you had to do to make sure the first thing in the morning or when you were eating at lunch, I don't know, as often as you eat, as often as you wake up in the morning, I have no idea what you might do, but what if you did whatever it took to keep that at the forefront of your mind every day? I have a little catchphrase. You want to hear it? I have a great idea. I'm sitting in my office by myself. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is a great idea. Oh, but we can't do that because what if this, what if this, what if this? You know what I say? I say, what's the worst they can do? Kill me? What can they do? Kill me? I was at the haircut place yesterday. Oh no, right? Yeah. Somebody said, hey, you look like a drug dealer. I'm like, no, I don't think that's it. But I was at the haircut place, and this lady was engaging me in conversation, and I thought, you know, I should talk to her about something meaningful if I can. Just see where she's at. Maybe she's hurting, maybe she could use some help. I don't know. And so I just had this thought. I said, yeah, it'd be easier not to. Come on, that's real. I said, it'd be easier not to. You know, what if she thinks I'm a loop? What if she thinks I'm a fruit loop? What if she thinks I'm nuts? You know, and then I just had I had trained myself that day to think this thought. Well, what's the worst she can do? Kill me? I had a great conversation. Wouldn't be surprised if she came to visit us sometime. Great conversation. What if you did whatever it took to keep that at the front of your brain? See, sometimes our problem isn't that we don't have enough knowledge. Sometimes it's not that we haven't been to church enough times yet. Sometimes it's not that we haven't been schooled enough or read the Bible enough. Our problem is that we got too much rolling around up here to keep the important things at the front and the lesser things either out or to the back. What would it take for you to keep that at the front of your mind? Because, listen, when you do, things change. Your life changes based on what you focus on. And if you could keep that to the front, if you are a believer, and I know some of you may not be, and maybe next week is for you, but if you are, keeping that at the front can change everything for you. Everything. A lot of times it's not complicated. A lot of times it's just focusing on the right thing at the right time when it counts. I'm going to leave you with that. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to see you next week. And we're going to start a new series. It's called The Five Hardest Things That Happen to People. And I believe Pastor Mike is going to lead that one off next week. Five Hardest Things That Happen to People. If that's something you might be interested in, you better show up next Sunday. Listen, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I would hope that through my speedy attempt this morning, that there's some clarity in this, Lord, that we could take the truth that you gave us, as simple as it is, and feed off of that in our lives this week, that we would find a way to keep the truth front and center and let that govern our decisions and let that govern our reactions and let that govern the things that we attempt to do, that we would not be afraid to do those things, but we would be fearless and bold because you have taken away the fear of death. You alone can make us that kind of a dangerous, Lord. You alone can make us the kind of dangerous that makes an impact in the world through the works that you've given us to do. You can free us to live the life we were always meant to be and live without fear. And I just pray for every single person here this morning that you would give us an idea, give us a conviction of whatever it is that we need to do, add to our life to bring that up front and center on a daily basis, as often as we breathe, as often as we eat, as often as we wake up in the morning, Lord. Help us to see and convict us and show us a path that we can actually do something real, something practical. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.